ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः भक्तियोगो नाम द्वादशोऽध्यायः श्रीभगवानुवाच फर्स्ट वी सॉ द लास्ट क्लास अर्जुना आस्क्ड अ क्वेश्चन हू आर द बेस्ट ऑफ द डेवोटीज who are most committed devotees, who are ever steadfast devotees. Ke yukta tamaha. So the people worship Bhagavan, pray to Bhagavan, meditate upon Bhagavan, and meditate upon the Sagunam Brahma. There are people who meditate upon the Rigunam Brahma. Of all of them, who are the best? Who are the ever steadfast devotees? Was Arjuna's question. So now Bhagavan started answering. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. मय्यावेश्यमनो ये माम् नित्ययुक्ता उपासते श्रद्धया परयोपेताः ते मे युक्ततमामताः इस बेटर यू मेमोराइज दिस चैप्टर एज वी लर्न मय्यावेश्यमनो ये माम् नित्ययुक्ता उपासते श्रद्धया परयोपेताः ते मे युक्ततमामताः भगवान् सेस् हियर् ते युक्ततमाः ते युक्ततमाः दोस् आर् द पीपल् Ever steadfast devotees, the most committed devotees are those people. Who are the Yukta Tamaha? Yuktaha is a devotee. Yukta Taraha is also a devotee. Yukta Tamaha is also a devotee. But here Bhagavan says, Yukta Tamaha means those are the most committed or those are ever steadfast devotees who, he says, those people, mayeva, must say, mayi manaha aveshya. Mayi in me, manaha aveshya. Means focusing one's attention on Bhagavan, fixing one's mind upon Bhagavan. How shraddhaya. With unflinching faith, with this firm faith, doubtless faith. Shraddhaya mayi manaha aveshya. You be anywhere physically, but see your mind is fixed on Bhagavan. Mayi means in me. Krishna is telling in me means in Bhagavan. Mayi manaha aveshya. How shraddhaya, paraya shraddhaya. Not simple shraddha, para shraddha. Para shraddha means with unflinching faith, great faith, doubtless faith, doubtlessly convinced faith. Paraya shraddhaya. Nitya Yuktaha, நித்தியுக்தாக, நித்தியுக்தாக பீப்புள் ஹூ ஆர் ஃபோக்கஸ்ட் எவர் ஸ்டெட்ஃபாஸ்ட் டெவோட்டிஸ் நித்தியுக்தாக. ஏ மயி மனஹ ஆவே பரயா ஸ்ரத்தயா ஆவேஸ்ய ஆவேஸ்ய மயி மனஹ பரயா ஸ்ரத்தயா ஆவேஸ்ய நித்தியுக்தாஹ உபாசதே உபாசதே தோசு மெடிடேட் மாம் அப்பான் மீ தே ஆர் யுக்தத்தமாக மதாக தே ஆர் செட் டு பி தி பெஸ்ட் ஆஃப் தி யோகிஸ் அண்ட் மோஸ்ட் கமிட்டட் டெவோட்டிஸ் ஓகே இஸ் லிட்டில் மீனிங் ஆஃப் தி வர்ஸ் The question was, let me make it very clear, whether people who dwell upon Bhagavan with attributes are superior, or people who dwell upon Bhagavan's abstract form, are they superior? There are Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha and Saguna Brahma Upasakaha. Of them, of saguna upasakas and nirguna upasakas, who are the best of the devotees? Who are the most committed? That was the question. So, if we say saguna upasanam, if we take the word saguna upasanam also, worshipping Bhagavan or meditating upon Bhagavan with different attributes, or worship, the meditating upon Bhagavan as the attributeless truth, abstract truth. So between these two, which is the best of meditation, which is the best, or who are the best of the devotees? So here Bhagavan wants to show, first of all, you know, when the question itself is not correct. No way, because all the devotees are equally important, because they are two different disciplines. Whether you meditate upon Bhagavan as the one with the attributes, or whether a person is meditating upon Bhagavan as the one attributeless, formless, abstract reality, there is a difference, no doubt. But you cannot say who is the best and who are the not best. So Krishna gave a question. Those who are with para shraddha, great shraddha in me, and those who place their mind in me are the best of my devotees. He said that. So if the question itself is incorrect question, then there cannot be an answer also for that. Only a right question can have right answer. An incorrect question cannot have an answer, or cannot have a right answer definitely. Similarly here, in English also we say this. When we should use the question, how much? When we must use the question, how many? There's a difference. If we use inappropriately these two, if we replace, then the answer cannot be right answer, appropriate answer. If we happen to compare the two factors, which one is greater, which one is superior, which one is better, which one is better of the two? The comparison is between the two. Then you can choose or between the two, you can choose one as the better thing after analyzing carefully. And there must be two different things. If two things are similar, the same, between the two different things, choosing is easy. Because there's difference is there. Choice is better. Choice can be better. But if the two things are similar, then choosing between them is difficult. So you must be able to compare one with the other. Then you can choose only if they are two different things. If the two are similar also, then comparison itself is a problem. So here, Krishna, what Bhagavan wants to convey is that whether a person is committed to the Saguna Rupam of Bhagavan or whether a person is committed to the Nirguna Rupam of Bhagavan, the person's devotion to Saguna Rupam and person's devotion to Nirguna Rupam, this devotion to a Saguna Rupam and Nirguna Rupam cannot be compared. Commitment to Saguna Rupam of Bhagavan, commitment to Nirguna Rupam of Bhagavan, Bhagavan with attributes or Bhagavan attributeless, Bhagavan as the attributeless reality, this commitment to Bhagavan cannot be compared. Because why they cannot be compared? Here, Nirguna Rupam, meditation upon Nirguna Rupam is the end to be accomplished by the meditation upon Saguna Rupam. So worshipping Bhagavan as the one with the attributes, worshipping Bhagavan, praying to Bhagavan, or meditating upon Bhagavan as the one with the attributes is the means ultimately which should lead to or culminate in its end. And what is the next end? It's the means to accomplish that end. That is, being able to appreciate Bhagavan as the one without attributes. You begin your spiritual journey as the one worshipping Bhagavan with the attributes. Then gradually that devotion should culminate in the understanding of Bhagavan as the one without attributes. So, Sarupa Bhakti should take one to Arupa Bhakti. Worshipping of Bhagavan with the forms should culminate in the appreciation of Bhagavan without the forms, Bhagavan without the attributes. Therefore, Saguna Rupa Upasanam, Saguna Upasanam, Saguna Brahma Upasanam is the means which means a stepping stone by which one can climb on to the Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. Because Saguna Rupa Bhakti, in Saguna Brahma Upasanam, there is Dvaitam, there is duality. Saguna Brahma Upasanam means I am the meditator and Bhagavan is meditated upon. I am the worshipper, Bhagavan is worshipped. I am one who is praying to Bhagavan, Bhagavan is the one who is prayed to. This division, Dvaitam, duality is there in Saguna Brahma Upasanam. This worshipping, praying to, meditating upon Bhagavan as the one endowed with attributes. And this should gradually bless me with the benefit of understanding Bhagavan with Bhagavan as the one without attributes. Therefore, Saguna Brahma Upasanam, worship, prayer, meditation, etc. should finally bless me with the clear understanding of the attribute Bhagavan, vision of Bhagavan as the attributeless very abstract reality, which is Advaitam. So, Saguna Brahma Upasanam is Dvaita Bhakti. Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is Advaita Bhakti. So, Advaita Bhakti is the means, Advaita Bhakti is actually end to be accomplished. So, how can we compare the means and the end? They are not to be compared. They are not to be compared. Comparison is not possible. Because if you have to arrive at the end, the goal of discovering Bhagavan as the truth without attributes, which itself is moksha, then naturally you must be prepared for that vision, and for it Saguna Brahma Upasanam is the means. So without the means, end cannot be accomplished. Without accomplishing the end, means will be incomplete. The means without the end will be incomplete. The means without the accomplishing the end will be incomplete means, and the accomplishment of end without the means is impossible. Therefore, Saguna Brahma Upasanam is important. Nirguna Brahma Upasanam also is important. Saguna Brahma Upasanam is a preparatory discipline. Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is what? Culmination of Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Nirguna Brahma Upasanam in due course of time should bless a person with assimilation, which is moksha. Therefore, the very question Arjuna asked, who are the best of the devotees between these two types of meditators? Whether Saguna Brahma Upasakaha or Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha? Who are the best of the meditators? Who are the best of the yogis? Was his question. Therefore, and the question was not whether the means is best or whether the end is the best. It was his question. Therefore, the wrong question. Therefore, answer cannot be given. The very question has to be corrected. Now, Krishna's answer is presented in the form of correcting the very question so that he will get a correct, proper knowledge. So that his questions, doubts also will resolve. Now, so Bhagavan does not point out specifically that the question asked by Arjuna was incorrect. No, Bhagavan did not mention that. Bhagavan does not point out that error. Because a teacher is always very conscious that whenever the student's question being wrong is pointed out directly, immediately, it will make the student feel offended and humiliated. Because the student is already ajnani, already has enough load of sense of smallness centered on I. See, Shatram thinks so much. Already every human being is naturally loaded with wrong notions about the self. Already there is affliction caused by wrong notions about the self. And this So pointing out directly the error in asking the question may make the student feel offended or humiliated. This fundamental problem will get aggravated. Therefore, the fundamental problem of sense of smallness centered on I will be aggravated. So Bhagwan did not want to contribute for the addition of the fundamental problem, adding to the fundamental problem. Therefore, Bhagwan is very conscious. This is how every teacher is. I remember Pujya Swamiji, really he was like that. Whenever somebody asks some very nonsensical question, he will remain quiet. He will not answer. Then we can understand why Swamiji ignored the question. Because he doesn't want to answer. And he knows and he will not point out if he was wrong also. I'm sure. No, that's how Swamiji was. I same thing, actually, because he said, the Sampradaya, this must have been there also. But of course, but teacher also has the responsibility of correcting students' error in students' understanding. Therefore, teaching is the only way. Swamiji used to tell this one sentence, keep on listening. I remember this one sentence, keep on listening. Things will become clear. Things will fall in their place. He used to say this. Like that, continuous listening systematically will help us correct our even understanding that even the questions we present itself, we present also will become corrected. So here, however, the question is, whether it is meaningful question, meaningless question, wrong question, still what should be taught should be taught. Therefore, Bhagavan Krishna consciously gives an amazingly brilliant answer. So what he says, you know, Saguna Brahma Upasakas are superior. Okay. We're going to see that next mantra, verse. What about Nirguna Bhakta? Nirguna Brahma Upasakas. Saguna Brahma Upasakas are greater devotees. But what about Nirguna Brahma Upasakas? Krishna says, Nirguna Brahma Upasakas, no, they become one with me. They attain me. They gain me. This is how Krishna is very conscious. So no devotee is offended now. Saguna Brahma Upasakaha is a great devotee. No, greater devotee. But Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha is one with me. He gains me. This is how Bhagwan answers. That's why Saguna Brahma Upasakaha is really great because there's no choice. Every devotee has to go through this discipline of being a devotee of Saguna Ishwaraha initially, because a spiritual journey is begun with religious discipline of being devoted to Bhagavan. So everyone in the beginning begins one's life as a worshipper of the Saguna Brahma only. Then if a person is given to that discipline of worshipping Bhagavan as the one endowed with the attributes, Saguna Brahma, then if he is there in that discipline for a length of time, and if he is given to this adequate amount of practice in that worshipping regularly, etc., then gradually that commitment to Bhagavan, the Shraddha with which he is worshipping and praying, will gradually help him to be absorbed into Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. Advaita Upasanam or Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, which is Nirguna Brahma Bhaktihi Advaita Bhaktihi. And this Advaita Bhaktihi, Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, Nirguna Brahma Bhaktihi, Nirguna Ishwara Bhaktihi alone is said to be Jnanam. Okay, that's what is said to be Jnanam. Now, I'm going to moving on to the next verse. Yetvaksharama nirdeshyam. In following, okay. Yetvaksharama nirdeshyam. Avyaktam paryupasate. Sarvatra gama chintyancha. Kutasthamachalam dhruvam. Yetvaksharama nirdeshyam avyaktam paryupasate sarvatra gama chintyancha kutasthamachalam dhruvam. I won't read both verses together because the month, this verse is not complete. Yetvaksharama nirdeshyam avyaktam paryupasate sarvatra gama chintyancha kutasthamachalam dhruvam sanniyam yendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayah sanniyam yendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayah te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhota hiterataha te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhota hiterataha. See, in this second verse of the 12th chapter, Bhagavan mentioned that Saguna Brahma Upasakas are great. How did he say? Mayeva manaha aveshya. Ye mam parayashaddaya upasate te yuktatamaha. They are great devotees, greatest devotees, those who meditate upon me with a great shraddha, focusing their attention on me, he mentioned. But now he's saying, in these following verses, here in these verses, Bhagavan says, you know what he says? Te mameva prapnuvanti, mam eva prapnuvanti, means they gain me, they reach me, they attain me. Which means he praises the Nirguna Brahma Upasakas. So Bhagavan glorifies the Nirguna Brahma Upasakas. How does he glorify? Glorify in the sense, not, he says, they reach me, they attain me, they become one with me. Te mam prapnuvanti, mam eva prapnuvanti, they gain me alone finally. Who are the people who get me alone? They reach me finally. It says, ye te. So ye, relative pronoun, those people who paryupasate, those people who meditate upon, okay, paryupasate. How do they meditate upon? What do they meditate on? How do they meditate on? What do they meditate on? Ye paryupasate, those people who meditate upon what? Aksharam, anirdesham, avyaktam, sarvatragam, achintyam, kutastham, achalam, dhruvam. they meditate upon the very Bhagavan's Swarupam. Ye Paryupasate, those people who dwell upon the very essential abstract nature of Swarupam of Bhagavan, okay, are these Rukunama Upasakas. Now, what do they meditate on? He says all these words. What do they meditate on? He said in this, in the verse number third. In verse number 4, he says, how do they meditate on? What this Nirguna Brahma Upasakas, the people who dwell upon Bhagavan's attributeless reality, nature, what do they meditate on is mentioned in the verse number 3. How do they meditate is mentioned in verse number 4. And such people, they gain me, mameva prapnuvanti. Okay, let us take first, these Nirguna Brahma Upasakas dwell upon Bhagavan as the attributeless very reality. What is that? Aksharam. Beautiful verses there. Aksharam. Who is Bhagavan? He says Aksharam. Imperishable. Imperishable. Aksharam is imperishable. And then one more word you have, Aksharam. Then Anirdeshyam. Before going to Akshara Anirdeshyam, let me tell you this much. See, yesterday also I mentioned in my class, I don't know which class I mentioned, the word Aksharam is a very beautiful word. In Shankara Bhagavatpada, in his commentary upon Taittiriya Upanishad, there he mentions, I think yesterday also mentioned this in my previous class. Why? I think in my, yesterday's class also mentioned this. Aksharam means imperishable. Na ksharati iti aksharam. Na ksharati iti aksharam. Ksharati means perishes, undergoes changes. Na ksharati. Three reasons are given why the reality, truth is known by the term aksharam. Yesterday I mentioned, today I also mentioned, because the content is relevant. Because first word Bhagavan mentions is Aksharam. Those people who meditate upon Bhagavan's Swarupam in terms of its nature of imperishability. So the truth reality is said to be Aksharam because of three reasons. Let me tell you again. Yesterday I mentioned in a different context. Today I'm going to mention again. Aksharanat Aksharam. Due to its changelessness, reality is implied by the term Aksharam. Akshatatvat Aksharam. Due to its nature of not being subject to get wounded, it is called Aksharam. Then, Aksharanat, Akshata, Akshatatvat, then Akshayatvat. Akshayatvat means due to its nature of not being subject to decay, changeless, unwounded, non-wounded, then not subject to decay. Because of this reason alone, the reality is implied by the term Aksharam. How nice it is to know that you are essentially Aksharam. What is the you simply understanding Bhagavan Swarupam is Aksharam. Bhagavan Swarupam is your Swarupam. So you are essentially Aksharam. You are imperishable. You are not subject to get wounded. You are not subject to get afflicted. You are not subject to decay. That is the fact. Finally, we have to arrive at. So here Aksharam. Then, Anirdeshyam. See, Nirdeshyam means that which can be defined. You can, everything and anything can be defined. And here, defined means it can be described. But Anirdeshyam means non-definable. the reality cannot be explained, expounded, described. It cannot be non-definable. Why? Because if any definition of anything is possible because of the blessing of reality. Any definition of anything is because of the very blessing of reality. And the reality is what? Anirdesham, non-definable. We'll see later on. Now I'm telling you little meaning first. See, the 12th, every verse is important, but I want you to memorize the verses. First, let us know the literal meaning of the words. Then you can also understand the unfoldment. Then, avyaktam, anirdesham, now avyaktam. So, vyaktam means perceptible. Okay. Avyakta means imperceptible. So, vyaktam, perceptible is manifest. Avyaktam is unmanifest. So, unmanifest in the sense, it is Bhagavan's as the truth is not available for experience as an object. Being unmanifest means that Bhagavan as the truth is not available for experience as an object. Therefore, is said to be, the truth is what? Avyaktam. So it is said, Aksharam, Anirdesham, Avyaktam. Fourth word, Sarvatragam. Beautiful. Sarvatragam. Who is Bhagavan? Hey, Bhagavan is essentially the formless abstract reality. It is imperishable, non-definable. Then we say Sarvatragam, no, Avyaktam, not available for experience as an object. Avyaktam, unmanifest. Then Sarvatragam means all pervasiveness. Sarvatra gachati, it is Sarvatragam. That which is all pervasive. All pervasive. Sarvatragam, achintyam. Achintyam means what? Not only the reality is not available for objectification through sense perception, not available for objectification even for the thought perception. It means Bhagavan as the very reality is not an object at all, not available for thought conception. Okay, therefore Bhagavan is not an object of thought. Bhagavan is the very swarup of the thought because of whose presence thought exists as thought. Bhagavan is not an object of thought. Therefore, achintya means inconceivable. Inconceivable. Then, kutastham. Now we have seen for already. Aksharam, anirdesham, avyaktam, sarvatragam, achintyam. 5 words we have seen. Sixth word describing Bhagavan. Kutastham. This also will be analyzing later on. Now you can understand. Kutastha means Bhagavan is the very truth not available for any muting. Means Bhagavan is immutable, unchangeable. Kutastha. There's a beautiful explanation given by Shankaracharya. We'll see that later on. Then achalam. Achalam means what? Immovable. Immovable. See, chalati means chalam. That which moves is chalam. Achalam means unmoving. Bhagavan is not only immovable, Bhagavan is also unmoving. Immovable. Achalam, immovable. You cannot shift Bhagavan from one place to another place because he is all pervasive. How can all pervasive thing, sarva gatatvat, due to its nature of all pervasiveness, Bhagavan as the is also not movable from one place to another place. So immovable. immovability is due to all pervasiveness, then not only that, achkutastam achalam dhruvam. This dhruvam means, has two meanings. Dhruvam means unmoving. Not only you cannot move it, Bhagavan, truth itself cannot move also. Unmoving, one meaning. Dhruvam means firm also, so unmoving. Another meaning given is timeless. Okay, timeless. Unmoving. Dhruvam means what? That which is always there firmly. Therefore, Dhruvam stands for eternity. Dhruvam means eternal, unmoving, eternal truth. So these are all the words describing Bhagavan's Swarupam. What is Bhagavan? The very abstract truth is Bhagavan. And Bhagavan as an abstract truth is of this nature. Unmoving, being eternal is Bhagavan's, being always. Why is reality always there? That is his Swarupam. Why reality is everywhere? That is his Swarupam. Why reality is immutable? That is Swarupam. Immutability is his Swarupam. Why Bhagavan is not available for experience as an object? Why is not manifest? That is the very Swarupam. That is how, because most abstract. So, Bhagavan being the very truth behind the sense organs and mind, Bhagavan is not an object available for objectification through sense perception or through a thought conception. So not available for inconceivable, imperceptible. So avyaktam. These are the beautiful words. Now Krishna says, ye paryupasate, those who dwell upon. Paryupasate means meditate upon, dwell upon. It also, some other context also means worship. Okay, here paryupasate means those who dwell upon or meditate upon Bhagavan as the truth of this abstract nature revealed by these words. Aksharam, anirdesham, avyaktam, sarvatragam, achintyam, kotastam, achalam, dhruvam. Ye paryupasate, those who meditate upon this Bhagavan Swarupam. Okay. But how do they meditate upon? This is what they meditate upon. What do they meditate upon? They meditate upon Bhagavan, who is essentially of this nature. How do they meditate upon? That is said in the next verse. Sanniyam yendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayaha. Ste prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhota hiterata. Such people, sanniyamya indriya gramam. This is qualification number one. Sanniyamya indriya gramam. That is the most difficult thing for us. Indriya gramam sanniyamya. Indriya gramaha. The word gramaha means collectively all indriyani. Pancha karmendriyani, pancha jnanendriyani. So having mastery over all their instruments of knowledge and instruments of actions. What is that? What does it mean by saying having mastery over all instruments of actions and knowledge? That needs to be explained. Explanation we'll see later on. Let us know the word meaning first. Indriya gramam sanyamya. Indriya gramam sanyamya. So indriya sanniyamya. Sanniyamya. See, samniyamya. But when you are reading, you must read it as sanniyamya. So, indriya gramam sanniyamya. So, having mastery over all the organs. Okay. Not only that, okay, what about the mind? Sarvatra samabuddhayaha. These people having mastery over all the organs, how should the mind be? They have mastery over the organs. Fine. What about the mind? Buddhi. Sarvatra samabuddhayaha. So sarvatra samabuddhihi. Yesham te sarvatra samabuddhayaha. So sarvatra means everywhere. Samabuddhayaha. Means having mental equanimity as the people of mental equanimity. People of mental equanimity means what? People who remain equanimous always. Sarvatra samabuddhayaha. So entertaining equanimous mind, remaining mentally equanimous, samabuddhayaha. Samabuddhayaha. Qualification number two. Third qualification. Sarva bhuta hite rataha. So not they have mastery over their organs. All 10 instruments of perception and instruments of knowledge, actions. They have mastery over their minds that they are able to remain equanimous, even-minded. And those people, sarvabhuta hite rataha. Sarvabhuta hite rataha. So rataha means those who are equally interested in the wellness, welfare of all the beings. Sarvesham bhutanam hite rataha means those who are always conscious of, those are conscious of the welfare of all beings. See, it's called social awareness. So such mahatmas, they are conscious of social wellness, social welfare. Being conscious of others' wellness, therefore, they're interested means they are conscious of social wellness, wellness, welfare of all beings. This is all because of the mental sensitivity, maturity. So these three qualifications, sarvabhuta hite rataha. You must memorize now itself, sarvabhuta hite rataha. Those who are interested, conscious of, interested in, conscious of the welfare of all beings. And those who are consciously equanimous, remain mentally equanimous, even-minded always. And those who have mastery over their sense organs and organs of actions, sarvendriya, these are the three qualifications, such people, being endowed with these qualifications, the people who dwell upon my abstract nature revealed by those words, those people, Arjuna, who are they? They are Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha. They are the people who dwell upon Bhagavan's Swarupam, abstract nature. And those people, Mameva Te Prapnamanti, those people attain me. They attain me means what? They become one with me. So, Saguna, one must start one's spiritual journey as a Saguna Brahma Upasaka, worshipper of Bhagavan with attributes, gradually to discover Bhagavan's attributeless arupam, essential nature, as one's own self, thereby remaining one with Bhagavan is possible. Therefore, those Saguna Brahma Upasakas are great devotees, no doubt. And as a result of which, they attain the oneness with Bhagavan. So Bhagavan says what? Here, Mameva Te Prapnuvanti. Is it clear? This is the meaning of these two verses. Beautiful meaning. Literal meaning we have seen. Let us see now. Every word you have understood. The sentence will be complete only if you combine both the verses. Yea, those people upasate, paryupasate, meditate upon those people who, those people having mastery over their organs, sanniyamya indriya gramam, sarvatra samabuddhayaha, remaining equanimous always, everywhere, and being conscious of the welfare of other beings also, those people who constantly dwell upon my essential nature as aksharam, imperishable truth, aksharam, anirdesham, avyaktam, sarvatragam, achintyam, kotastam, achalam, dhruvam, those people, mameva prapnavanti, they reach me alone, they attain me, they gain me. This is the literal meaning of the verse. Let us read again, we can go to the unfoldment. Yetu aksharam toksharam, tu indeed, yetu indeed, aksharam, we have to break it there. Yetvaksharamanirdesham avyaktam paryupasate sarvatragamachintyancha kutasthamachalam dhruvam sanniyam yendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayah te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhota hiteratah. So here, now Bhagavan says, yes, sir, in the previous verse, what did he say? People who with great Shraddha worship me, dwell upon me, they are my dear devotees, he said. Now he says, that these people who are involved in Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, who meditate upon Bhagavan as the one without attributes. And this meditate are the people, they reach me. Why? Because, see, these people, how they reach me? Because they dwelling upon their own Swarupam. Bhagavan is the essential nature of one's own self. When they dwell upon Bhagavan's essential nature, they're dwelling upon their own Swarupam. Essentially, they can understand that they are non-separate from Bhagavan. Not only that, see, this dwelling upon Bhagavan's abstract nature as a part of their discipline of going through the Jnana Yoga, as a part of the discipline of Jnana Yoga. Is the culmination of the Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Therefore, it is the highest level of bhakti. Highest level of bhakti is what? Dwelling upon Bhagavan's abstract nature, Swarupam, as a part of the discipline of Jnana Yoga, is the highest level of devotion. Therefore, Bhagavan, in these three verses, In the first verse, he introduced Saguna Brahma Upasanam. He mentioned, and in the following verses, these two verses, Bhagavan carefully mentions that Jnana Yoga, the discipline of Jnana Yoga, the discipline called Jnana Yoga, going to the discipline of Jnana Yoga means dwelling upon Bhagavan's essential nature, Bhagavan's attributeless nature. And this dwelling upon Bhagavan's abstract nature, revealed by the Shastra's words, unfolded by the teacher, is an integral part of the discipline of Jnana Yoga. Please make it very clear. When a person goes through the discipline of Jnana Yoga, dwelling upon Bhagavan's abstract nature revealed by the words of the Shastram, unfolded by the teacher during the Shravanam Mananam, is actually this contemplation is part of, because Shravanam and Mananam is continued, followed by the discipline of contemplation. Your contemplation is what? An integral part of the discipline of Jnana Yoga. See, dwelling upon Bhagavan as described in his verse number 2 and 3. Yeah, the 3 and 4 actually is contemplation. And the contemplation is what? Integral part of the discipline of Jnana Yoga. And his contemplation alone is said to be Nididhyasanam. So after Shravanam, after Mananam, definitely a person must have gone through the discipline of Shravanam first in order to move on to the discipline of Nididhyasanam, which is an integral part of the whole discipline of Jnana Yoga, Jnana Yoga. That's why we say Jnana Yoga involves three steps. Shravanam first, Mananam second, Nididhyasanam third. So, when you listen to the unfoldment of the words of the Shastram, first it is the Shravanam. That is how you understand how Bhagavan is essentially the very truth. Shravanam helps you understand. Then if at all any doubts in your understanding, that Mananam, repeated listening and reflecting upon the teaching, helps you understand definitely what Bhagavan is, not how Bhagavan is essentially. The doubts all be resolved in Mananam. So then once there's a clear knowledge is there, doubt-free knowledge, and repeatedly dwelling upon what has been clearly understood as Bhagavan's Swarupam is Nididhyasanam, contemplation. Therefore, here Bhagavan talks about Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha is a person who is given to contemplation. Therefore, people who dwell upon such, people who are contemplative, they reach me, they gain me, they attain me, means they become one with me. Okay. So Aksharam, as I already mentioned, Aksharam is the absolute reality. There's nothing greater or bigger than the Aksharam Brahma. So attributeless reality is Aksharam. All the words here are taken from Upanishad. Every word is a term from Upanishad. Now, Bhagavan is avyaktaha, means, as I mentioned already, Bhagavan as the abstract truth is not available for sense perception. To any of the sense organs, we cannot see Bhagavan as an object. Therefore, Bhagavan is said to be avyaktaha. So, therefore, it is, even though form, sound, color, taste, touch, all the objects are Bhagavan, no doubt. But definitely, Bhagavan is not any of the objects, form, sound, color, touch, perceptible through sense organs. Therefore, Bhagavan is attributeless, absolutely attributeless. Therefore, Bhagavan is imperceptible through sense organs. The imperceptibility as an object being attributeless alone is meant by this expression, avyakta swarupaha. So, as this universe is constituted of, formed of five elements, it's an elemental universe, pancha bhautika prapanchaha. And being elemental model, the universe has the available for objectification only in five different forms as five different objects with five different attributes. Whereas only the objects having their own five different attributes are perceptible through five different sense organs. Whereas reality, the source of the whole universe, being absolutely attributeless, being free from attributes, is not perceptible, graspable through any of the sense organs. Therefore, Bhagavan says here, avyaktaha. Even though when we have a murti, Ishta Devata Murti, that form we worship is perceptible. So we, that's why Ekarupa Bhaktihi begins with the form. So the perceptible form symbolizes the imperceptible abstract truth. Truth is imperceptible, is not non-existent. The reality is not non-existent, reality is imperceptible. So we invoke the imperceptibly subtlest truth, Bhagavan, in a perceptible, tangible form in our Ekarupa Bhakti. That is how we begin worshipping and praying. Okay. Next, we see Achintyaha. Bhagavan is Achintyaha. Why? Bhagavan cannot be imagined, conceived. Bhagavan is not an object of thought. There are many subtle things we do not perceive through physical eyes, like protons, electrons, all we don't see through physical eyes, but still we understand them. Many subtle factors. We don't see through physicalized time, but it's a concept. We understand that it's a conceivable. Whereas the very truth of time is inconceivable, not available for thought perception. So, that is, then, anirdeshyaha. Avyaktaha, that is why Bhagavan cannot be defined. How Bhagavan is? Bhagavan anirdesha means cannot be described by words. Bhagavan cannot be explained, expounded, described by words. Cannot be conceived through mind. Cannot be perceived through sense organs. That is why anirdesha. Now, just because the truth is imperceptible, inconceivable, and indescribable, non-definable, we should not mistake it for a non-existent thing. It is not non-existent. There is a big argument raised by Buddhists. Oh, if such a truth, if it is truth, is imperceptible, inconceivable, indescribable, non-definable, then such a truth cannot exist. Maybe it doesn't exist. That is the problem they have. No. Still truth is there. As a truth of the perceptible, conceivable and explicable things. Then sarvatragam. Sarvatragam means there is no place where Bhagavan is not. Being the most abstract pervades even space. ST also mentioned this in the class. All pervasive is Bhagavan, and all pervasiveness is the very nature. Being the subtlest, subtler than even the thought, subtler than the subtlest, Bhagavan is the most pervasive, all pervasive. Sarvatragam. Then kutastaha. It's a very interesting word, kutastaha. See, kutastaha means one who is not subject to change. Immutable means changeless, unchangeable. Not only unmoving and immovable, changeless also. It means not subject to any of the modifications. Nirvikaram Brahma. Nirvikaraha Ishwaraha. Nirvikara Swarupaha Ishwaraha. Kutastaha. It means everything in the universe, being elemental product, is subject to sixfold modifications. Shastram says, Shad Bhava Vikaraha. Every object in this universe, that is why our own physical body goes through these sixfold modifications. Shad Bhava Vikaraha. You know, Asti Vardhate. Asthyate, vardhate, viparinamate, yate, kshiyate, nashyati. Asti, jayate, vardhate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, nashyati. Sixfold modifications. It means everything in the universe constantly undergoing these six modifications, they continue to exist. See, changefully, matter exists changefully, beginninglessly, endlessly, changefully matter exists. Whereas consciousness, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly consciousness exists. This is the difference between the matter and consciousness. Matter is also not created, not destroyed. Which means matter has no beginning and end, but matter constantly, beginninglessly, endlessly, changefully it exists. Whereas consciousness beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly exists. This is the big difference. Now here, Swarupam of Bhagavan is consciousness. Therefore what? It's not subject to any of the changes. Absolutely changeless. Therefore, it withstands time, because time itself exists in consciousness, therefore not subject to time. Not subject to time means it is absolutely changeless, because time brings about change on the part of everything, whereas consciousness is untainted, untouched by time, because time itself disappears in consciousness. The Bhagavan's Swarupam happens to be the consciousness, is not subject to time, therefore not subject to any change. Kutastaha. So, Shankara Bhagavatpada writes in his commentary, the word kutaha means anvil. Now this anvil is a big, strong and iron stuff used by usually all the people who are working on iron. The goldsmiths use that. In fact, iron is very strong. the goldsmith who work on very fine gold work, they also use. Also, blacksmith. Even the people who work on the hard, strong metals, they also use it. So anvil is used as a supporting big big object upon which they really bang, they really hit the metal to shape it. And this, any metal which is kept on the anvil undergoes a change, but anvil does undergo change. Anvil remains changelessly. The metal is supposed to change because it has to curve or bend. They use the anvil to curve or to bend the metal, etc. They use it. If that undergoes a change. So like that, here, kutastaha, Bhagavan is like a kuta. So Bhagavan is the one in whom, the changeless Bhagavan in whom all the changes are allowed to happen. The changeless reality, Bhagavan is essentially the changeless reality in whom all the changes happen. Without whose presence, change on the part of the matter is not possible. Therefore, the changeless adhishtanam for changeful material forms and names. Bhagavan is called kutastaha, ever of the nature of changelessness. Kutastaha. Then Dhruvaha. Dhruvaha means firm. Firm, again, firmness here to take it as, first he says changeless. So Dhruvaha means firm means, see, Kala Rahitaha. Again, free from time limitation. So eternal, timeless reality. This is how all the words are used here. So now we can see all these words presented by Bhagavan in Gita are all words taken from Upanishad only. So every word reveals what the Bhagavan as reality is not and what Bhagavan is essentially. Therefore, Bhagavan is not anything which does not have these attributes, but these are not fit in these descriptions. For Bhagavan is essentially of this nature. So the people who understand Bhagavan's Swarupam, obtaining as their own Swarupam, revealed by the words of the Shastram, unfolded by the teacher, and those people are Nirguna Brahma, understand and they dwell upon that Swarupam, are said to be Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha. And now, this dwelling upon is possible only if they are focused minded. If they are distracted and disturbed, even if they understand, they cannot dwell upon this truth. Therefore, Krishna says, people who have mastery over their sense organs, they are undisturbed minded. And not only that, and this undisturbedness is possible because they have such a degree of mastery over their mind and sense organs. And not only that, they're able to see everything as prasadam also. Whatever comes in life is prasadam for them. That mental equanimity also helps them to be undisturbed. So sarvabhuta hite rataha. Therefore, when they see everything, essentially everything is Bhagavan, this fact also is very clear for them. Everything is subject to change. All the material forms are subject to change. And everything, all these changing material forms are essentially one and the only truth, which is one's own self. Therefore, they see they're equally interested in the welfare of all the beings. This magnanimity, this bigness comes because of their the wide understanding of Bhagavan being the whole. They were sarvabhuta hite rataha, so that they're conscious of dharma, therefore sensitized, people of sensitized minded, they're able to dwell upon Bhagavan. Such people alone are said to be here, who Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha. And for them, Bhagavan is the very content of I. Bhagavan is the very content of I. Bhagavan says, Sarvatta Samabuddhayaha Sarvabhuta Hite Rataha. And such people, Mameva Prapnuvanti, they attain me alone. So, what does it mean? Without pointing out the mistake in Arjuna's question, if Saguna Brahma Upasakas are better, Nirguna Brahma Upasakas are better. Bhagavan did not say, no, they are better, they are better. Or both of them are people of different levels. So nobody is superior, nobody is inferior. A Nirguna Brahma Upasaka must have been Saguna Brahma Upasaka once upon a time. And Saguna Brahma Upasaka is going to become Nirguna Brahma Upasaka later on. So what big deal? If you ask the question, who is better? The boy in 8th standard or boy in 10th standard? Who is better? Comparison is not right. The 8th standard boy will go to 10th standard one day. The 10th standard boy must have been in 8th standard one day. So why, what is the big deal about it? Everybody is in the process of growing. Therefore, and one cannot move on to the abstract devotion without having gone through this, without having trained the mind adequately. Mental training is very important. That's why Nama Sankirtan is important, singing is important, chanting is important, Archana is important, Parayanam is important. Why? All these things are, Pooja Samji used to say, you know, this different gilkais. For babies, we have, you know, for the babies, what is called in English language, the gilkai? We use something to, this gilkai.
Rattle.
When babies are,
Rattle.
Rattle, okay. These rattles, we need that make, which make noise. The babies, when they're lying down, flat, you know, we use the rattles to keep them silent. Like that, as people who are in the process of growing, we need different types of rattles. That is why amazing Sanatana Dharma is so amazing and so brilliant. How to bring a mind to Bhagavan. So do what all you like, but do it thinking is Bhagavan. I'm doing it for Bhagavan. That's why Ekarupa Bhakti is introduced. The forms are worshipped. The prayers are done. It's all for preparation. Ultimately, all these cultural forms and following should culminate in the vision of the abstract truth of Bhagavan. Truth in terms of Bhagavan, for the truth is Bhagavan for us. There is no God other than the truth. This is a bitter fact, but you have to accept it. And that truth is very much there as one's own self. So, that's why Bhagavan very carefully said, Saguna Upasakas are really great devotees, Yuktatamaha. They are greatest meditators, no doubt. Greatest meditators, Yuktatamaha. But this Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha reach me. By saying these two different sentences, Krishna shows that Saguna Brahma Upasanam is a sadhanam, a means which will elevate, uplift a person to the next level of Nirguna Brahma Upasanam contemplation. So we call Saguna Brahma Upasanam also is a mental activity. Nirguna Brahma Upasanam also is a mental activity, purely a mental activity. But the only difference is in meditation, there's a meditator, meditated difference is, worshipper, worshipped difference is. Whereas in contemplation, meditator, meditated difference is not there, because meditator is dwelling upon one's own surupam, which is contemplation. So contemplation is meditation because it is a mental activity. But meditation is not contemplation because there is division is there. Is it clear? Contemplation is meditation. Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is meditation because it's a mental activity. But meditation is not contemplation because their division is there. So one is a preparatory discipline. One is the end to be accomplished by the discipline of practicing meditation. Is it clear? So we'll see in the next class. Is it all right? Any Sorry, question?
One question, please.
Yeah.
A related question, but just out of curiosity or interest, are there any interpretations, like dualistic interpretations of Upanishads, like Mandukya or Mandukya Karika? Because it's all Advaitic there.
Yeah.
Do they have any take on that?
Dvaitins will not even turn Karika side. They will not even turn the side, they turn their head to Mandukya side, Karika side. Because Karika is purely by Gaudapada Acharya, not original text, isn't
right.
it? Only those few verses. See, Mandukya is a small Upanishad consisting of just 12 mantras. But the Karikas are so many. And then because those mantras are so clear, they show this Advaitam. The thing is, you know, the people whose interpretations are predominantly Advaitic also very much see the necessity and importance of the Dvaita Bhakti. Without Dvaita Bhakti, it's impossible to have Advaita Darshanam. See, Dvaitam is not condemned. That is why whatever the Dvaitins say about Bhakti, worshipping, praying, dharma, that is why all acharyas are revered in India, because all of them bring Bhagavan into this. Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Shankaracharya, all of them bring Bhagavan into one's life. All of them emphasize dharma. All of them emphasize the interest, one must have interest in everybody else. See, all of them emphasize dharma heavily. That is why all of them are revered, because they all bring Bhagavan into our lives. Only thing is, finally, this devotion, how long should you be praying to Bhagavan? How long should we be worshipping Bhagavan? See, praying to Bhagavan is fine. Worshipping Bhagavan is fine. How long? How long? There must be a day it should stop. Which means, the prayer itself, you analyze thoroughly, is an expression of emotional need. Worship is the expression of emotional need. There's always fear. There's always anxiety. Which is bondage. No, we cannot stand it. How long should I be putting up with this nonsense of anxiety and fear? How long? There must be a day I must be absolutely free from fear. And Shastram says, Dvaitadi Bhayam Bhavati, no way. Resolve the say that, where am I? In fact, the Advaitam is beautiful. They also do not deny the fact of, they description also be the same. One thing is, they do not include themselves. That's the only problem. Mm. I'm different from Bhagavan. Bhagavan is of this nature, they will not say no. Mm. And then, I'm part of Bhagavan, Vishishta Advaitam. I'm different from Bhagavan, I'm part of Bhagavan, I am Bhagavan. This is the three schools. And not three, I mean three different expressions, three different commentaries. The thing is, unless and until you see that, you have to say, I am not there. What is only the truth. That is what is Advaita. What is only the truth means, without resolving, where will you, resolving you, how can you say this only, what is only truth, only Bhagavan? That is why saying what is only Bhagavan is the culmination of the devotion. What is only Bhagavan means you are indirectly mentioning, I am not here. That is the absolute surrender. Yeah. So Dvaitins also, they'll also have their own interpretations of these words, definitely. But you can see the more and more, suppose you describe how Bhagavan is and all that. And there'll be a lot of logical issues, fallacies. Especially you tell your son, he will not listen to you. And Bhagavan is sitting somewhere and then he will not listen to you because he's exposed to much finer sciences, studies. So the buddhi is working very well. IQ is very much far advanced of these children of these days, especially when compared to us.
Yeah, absolutely true.
So, because exposure, now they're exposed to the global culture and then seeing things fast growing, technology development. My God, we're not able to keep pace with this, cope up with this. Even you to use properly this Zoom, I had to work hard. You know, the children are very quick because we are people of later generations. Anyway, what I'm saying, gradual things is going, but whatever they're doing, but one thing, however the technology develops, science develops, doesn't matter. There must be surrender to Bhagavan. Otherwise, there's no peace. The fact about life has to be understood anyway.
Thank you. I don't know
whether I have answered your question or not.
Yeah, I got the answer. I just wanted to comment one thing, maybe I hope not taking too much time. What I have realized with my discussions with some of the dualists recently is like Advaita is never in contradiction with the dualists.
Correct.
But
that is the
problem. But the problem seems to be Advaita relegates their kind of duality as a paramarthic or a vyavaharik satya.
So means.
So it's kind of relegation, and then that's what they a little bit tend to disagree, but I understand why. So
see, we are all worshippers. We are all Dvaita Bhaktas. See, one thing is our aim is Advaita Darshanam. But are we not worshipping, praying to Bhagavan? We are also equally worshipping. Shankara Bhagavad Pada has written so many, many stotrams on different devatas describing. There's a means. That is why the same Arjuna's very question, how it is. Very nice question. This question paved way for Krishna's clarification of our understanding. That the very question is, who is best? We can't ask. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.